Lord, respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sangaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authorities, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
For folks who are new to practice, if you'd like to get a back jack back in the front of there, you're welcome to do that. Shannon, there's a spot right up here. Just we might be down to the middle spot for the back there.
Okay.
I had a real fun practice opportunity yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not that there aren't always practice opportunities, uh-huh. But
sometimes they're more fun than
others. Sometimes they stand out more times than others. And I was guided to report to the kitchen to cook. Uh-huh. And when I arrived, my task changed. Uh-huh. And I was just, the cook was there.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
It was like, oh.
The cook inside of you was present, ready to cook.
Ready to cook. Uh-huh. And apron on, ready to cook. We're not going to cook. Mm-hmm. We're going to strip windowsills. The cleaner's not there. The window sill stripper it hasn't arrived yet.
Uh-huh.
And there's just like, a lot of resistance, like, oh dear, that's not really what I want to do. But in practice, we just carry on with the guidance. And then it just dropped in. As I started to do it, it was like, it's not work unless you'd rather be somewhere else. And I so want to be somewhere else.
So that was a peace quote that came through, I don't know, some number of months ago. And then we caught on and we kept referring to it over and over again. The idea that it's not work. It's not this idea of what we call work. Unless I'd rather be doing something else.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just an activity that I'm doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple hours to do this, so it was time to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
So about halfway through, this was I had done another cell, which was considerably easier.
Mm-hmm.
The layers stripped away. And this one was true practice because it was like stripping away conditioning ego. It was stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was relentless. Mm-hmm. And it took me a couple hours to do half the cell, which would...
Well, and that's true because conditioning sometimes we find it strips away quite quickly, quite easily at times. Other times it's like, is anything stripping away here? Or am I just,
I was on a 4-inch spot, 4 by 2 inches wide, for about 35 minutes, and it astonished me. Whereas I did about a 1-foot square area in 5 minutes. And it was just right near the screen where all that dirt probably came in. And, and I was told that over time, it's a layer of oil to keep the wood fresh, and then the layer of dirt gets on,
and oil and dust.
And I just kind of saw my whole practice in that little activity.
Mm-hmm.
My whole practice was right there, and eventually settled into the cleaner event. She arrived. I was able to summer her up, and a lot of mentoring,
You know, it's interesting, Todd, because so we're just finishing up Rest and Be Thankful retreat weekend.
Yes.
And the very topic that you're talking about came up in one of our discussions of how much suffering is created sending the wrong person and drift out.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you can say a few words of how, so you were very aware, it sounds like, right off the bat.
Right away. The cook.
I don't have the person that's needed for this job. Yeah. There's potential suffering here.
Yes.
How did you make that shift of actually bringing in this case, the cleaner?
I think just the relationship with the mentor has deepened mm-hmm. so greatly through recording and listening and through the practice mm-hmm. that the mentor just arose in that moment of suffering, mm-hmm. great suffering. I'm standing there with the pail and the rags and the bucket, and I'm standing looking at the sill, and it just feels like this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I know it has to happen, right. Because that's the guidance.
Which is very helpful in practice, especially in the monastic setting.
Yes.
But that, because out in, everyday life, you could choose to not do that.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as being willing to sit through and really see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So in this setting, it isn't an option not to do it.
That's right.
I mean, unless you're going to go, I'm going to pack my bags and leave.
That's right.
So then you're really faced with the obvious choice of, okay, I am going to do this task.
Yeah.
What would be the point in insisting on suffering through it?
Yeah.
Yesterday we looked at the example of traffic. Okay, so I'm in traffic.
Right.
I mean, I really have two choices. I mean, I am in the traffic. There's no choice about that unless I'm going to, completely change my plan and get out of here. But so there I am in the traffic. I have two choices. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like, seeing the suffering begin,
yes.
You began to make the other choice.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I just saw that I can either just suffer for 2 full hours mm-hmm. till the end of the work practice, mm-hmm. or I can call on a person that just loves this activity. Yeah. Any type of cleaning, she's really into it. Mm-hmm. And she came right up and was just like, let's get the Murphy's also going, and let's get the water temperature really nice, and mm-hmm. Let's get a couple of these neat rags. And once she was summoned and she was mentored, mm-hmm. the activity was actually quite joyous. Mm-hmm. And it was just fascinating to see these layers come off, and then there was the whole fascination of, wow, that came up quick, and this is very, very uh-huh. slow, and uh-huh. geez, we really got to change the water out. It's really super dirty.
Uh-huh.
Like, these layers are really, really dirty. Uh-huh. Kind of like conditioning can get really kind of yucky and dirty and crazy.
So when the mentor came in, it sounds like, or I'm projecting, that there's acceptance for the cook who might have been a little disappointed.
Oh, definitely. The cook was like kind of pouting.
Uh-huh. Pouting. And that's okay.
Pouting,
They'll get another chance.
Oh, there certainly will be other chances to go. Yeah. I think in the next 6 weeks I'll probably get called to the kitchen.
Probably. Chances are good. The cook is kind of taken care of.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like truly consciously inviting in the cleaner.
Consciously did.
And then she showed up.
She showed up. I consciously said, Claire, are you coming? I need some help, actually.
Uh-huh.
I need some help.
Yeah.
We have a task here, and you're really the only one that can do it.
Uh-huh.
My animal lover's not really interested in it. She's looking at the dogs through the window.
Yeah.
Can we go play with the dogs? That ain't going to work. It ain't dog time. Yeah. It's windowsill time.
Well, what's fun about that, too, is that, especially for little kids, but let's face it, for grown-ups, too, to have someone say to you, hey, I really need your help, is fun. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. And so you're really, in saying that, in giving the invitation that way, you really are inviting her to show up and take the help, which is what's really needed.
Mm-hmm.
And how key it is, the role of the mentor there, almost like referee kind of coach. Okay, let's see, who do we need? Okay, we don't really need you right now, so we're going to take care of you over here, but who we do need is so-and-so.
You know what that reminds me of? The counselor summer camp? We got all the kids, and there's all this activity, and then he's got the little whistle and the hat, and it's like, okay, all right, and just without that counselor there, it's mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with a lot of little kids in camp.
Yeah, and what's funny is that left to themselves, the kids are going to go crazy, right?
Yes.
But that's not what they really want either.
No.
To have a compassionate adult who's aware and loves them and has their best interests at heart, and is going to kind of coordinate things and take, everyone gets their turn and that sort of thing. That's what everyone wants. That takes care of everyone.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I've been working on some varnish and polishing of my own for a long time, trying to get down to what's underneath. Mm-hmm. I guess it's difficult to talk about. When I was 4 or 5, I guess something pretty drastic happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have access to that. Mm-hmm. I get to a place in meditation where there is emotion that comes up. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm shaking a little bit as I'm talking about this. Mm-hmm. But I'm not allowed to get down to what that content is. Mm-hmm. I just have little flashes of memory. Mm-hmm. And I feel very inauthentic because it feels like the personality I'm talking from now grew out of that experience as a way to avoid.
Isn't the one who had the experience.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so there's this big dissociation going on. And when I get close to it, it threatens what feels like my main identity, I guess. Mm-hmm. I remember training here years ago, and I'd wake up and I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what anything was. Mm-hmm. And then all kinds of pandemonium would ensue from that because it seemed like there was no price I would pay to not get down to this, whatever this experience was. Mm-hmm. But I have to know what it is in order to be trying to deny it. Mm-hmm. And not feel it.
In other words, if I'm tracking, on some level, you're aware that you do know what that is.
I have to, or else I wouldn't, you know what I mean? There has to. So I'm kind of stuck in this loop because I can only go so far. I'll sit in meditation, and I'll start crying or shaking or angry or whatever label I wanted, all this energy. But I have no verbal, I have no, like, it's hard to mentor. It's hard. I had a lot of homecomings, as we call them, I guess, with parts of myself coming back. I don't know how to describe that, but you know, like little kids coming to a parent. But I, talking now, can't connect with whatever that experience was. And so I'm kind of stuck in this loop.
As you're talking, what occurs to me, and I don't know if this feels like it fits with it, but what would it be like to simply mentor whatever's there in each moment? That as you're talking, it sounds like there's a belief that you need to somehow get to something that you're not getting to. But that in each moment, you know, you're describing that it's coming up in sitting meditation or wherever it comes up as you're going around in your life, that what would it be like to simply just mentor whatever's there in that moment? And then whatever's there in the next moment, and then whatever's there in the next moment, knowing that at whatever point, if any particular content does need to be revealed, that it will be.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, I guess, how to be the mentor, because I feel so inauthentic. Because I feel like my personality is the denial of that experience. And so it's such a big thing that in each moment I kind of feel like all I have a choice in doing is just to be here. But my time may be a little bit shorter because I have this laundry list of physical problems that can make my life a little shorter than perhaps it should be. So there's a sense of wanting resolution.
And then, of course, even that, that you're calling it a personality who is the survivor of that, whatever that thing happened, and didn't actually have that happen, that's not you either, right? And obviously you know that.
But boy, am I invested in it, though.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, even are you invested in it? Or is conditioning invested in you believing you're invested in it? Do you know? And so, I really resonate with what you're saying of, you know, I can't mentor the because it's true, I can't mentor. And I don't know if you've been listening, kind of, you know, some of the conversations in practice this year in the radio show and that sort of thing, but a lot of what people have been talking about is a real deepening of their recording and listening practice, and how so often in that, the mentor shows up. You know, just out of wherever the mentor shows up from, and just begins to mentor. And we're not doing it, we're not making it happen for that very reason, because I can't. I can't do that.
And there must be something in me. I've dated a number of women who were victims of rape. And somehow, I mean, they've told me, my very good relationship with my ex-girlfriend and everything, somehow there's a part of me that can be there for them. but I haven't been able to turn that inward to me.
Yeah.
For some reason, whatever shame or whatever.
Exactly. We're so conditioned not to. We're so conditioned not to. And that's really where projection can work in our favor. Because obviously you can access that, because you can access it for someone else. And you say whatever you say to that person, and it might be very reassuring to that person, but we can know it's reassuring to some part of you. Otherwise, that wouldn't have arisen as the thing for you to say. Mm. And so very often in a recording practice, we're encouraged to just simply record, even imagine your friend recording to that person, but then listen back to it for you. And at first, you know, maybe, you know, there's going to be a conversation and they're saying, no, I don't really, that doesn't really hit anywhere, I don't really feel it. But to keep at it, to keep at it. I mean, it's back to the stripping the layers, stripping the layers, stripping the layers. Not to assume that as we begin on, it sounds like a pretty deep, difficult place, as we begin on that, not to assume that it's not working. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just the patience of just continuing, just continuing, just continuing.
I talked about this little mentoring process that I do on the radio show just recently, mm-hmm. where I found out that there's a way to set an alarm that goes off with my own voice talking to me in the morning, mm-hmm. and it's been very helpful because I've wanted to do something for a long time, to get up early in the morning and do what it is that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I've just never been able to because the mornings are a very difficult time. I talked about on the show how the person who goes to bed is not the same person who wakes up in the morning. Right. You know?
The person who goes to bed is
like, oh, I know there's
three or three plans tomorrow.
The person in bed is just, boy, the last thing they want to do is get up. I mean, it's just projecting, you know, it's like, it must have been what it was like, you know, before I was born, just. You know, oh, this is so nice and cozy here. I do not want to get out of this. You know, it's just like something has to throw me out in order to.
One of those bright lights in this cold air.
It's a rude awakening. So yeah. It's like I've just been exploring. It feels like a big exploration in general. Mm-hmm. You know, like because so much a part of how conditioning works is that there's some goal in mind, there's a way to do it, and it's usually the way it's been done that's traumatized me in some way or another, you know, like, well, where did that information come from, you know? Meaning that, where did the information, I mean, even the design of the, you know, alarm clock, you know, to make this really annoying sound, just, you know, like my early recordings, you know, where it would be like, I imagine, okay, it got to be, you know, it's got to be a bugle sound in this, you know, alarm clock somewhere to get to make it work. And it's amazing that I found that the most gentle, reassuring recording that I've, you know, pretty much ever made is the one that's been getting me up in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's been a little. You know, I pay attention to see how resistance comes in even after I've set something up.
Sure.
You know, because like there's a new thing that's come up, and it's amazing how I'll forget some of the things that helped me along the way earlier. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, it's like, well, my what it is that I want to do in the morning is exercise, and so the next challenging thing will be. Where am I, you know, where, you know, I had to go get the clothes, you know, I got to get the special clothes or whatever like that.
All the way across my
huge room. It's amazing that I use that because it's like, it's true for that person. It's just like, it might as well be, tucked underneath of there. I don't want to get it. You know, so I've just been practicing with, you know, okay, well, if that's going to be the thing that's going to come up, then I'll lay out the clothes. Because mm-hmm. the person who goes to bed has tons of energy, can do stuff like
right?
that.
Yeah, sure, I'll set your clothes out for you.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, just, I don't know how to say it, but there's just been these little things that have been occurring
to me as the person who wants to assist this person yeah. in being successful, and yeah. the part that wants to do practice, as Sherry said on the show.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, if it's going to take that, then I'll do it. Yeah, because the conditioning will come in and say how silly that is.
To lay out the clothes.
Lay out the clothes. Oh, what do you,
what difference does that make?
Your mother, you know, you go to school, you're just going to pick out your,
yeah.
you know, just anything to come up to cause some kind of resistance to it.
Yeah.
The reason that there's resistance, I found, is because there's an equal and greater form of success on the other side of it.
A benefit to the being.
A benefit to the being that mm-hmm. is substantial, yeah. So yeah. that's how I know I'm getting close,
yeah.
is when it is fighting tooth and nail yeah. against something.
Yeah, because the benefit is really twofold, isn't it? There's the exercise and the actual physical benefit of that, which is huge. And even more than that, there's the benefit of actually having you be in charge of your life.
Yeah.
You getting to make the choices. Instead of, you know, I really want to exercise, I really want that to be a part of what I do, and then truly, you don't get to do that.
Yes.
The way that we get confused and get hooked into it is that it feels like it's me who doesn't want to do it.
Right.
But that's a conditioned process that happens to me. I'm the person who actually wants to do it. And that's what you're saying, that in the mentoring is really that. It's reaching through the resistance. In this case, the resistance is, I don't want to. Reaching through that resistance back to the person who really does want to,
yeah.
and offering him all the support to be successful.
Yeah, because underneath all that is that person who really wants to.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm seeing as I sit there making the recording,
mm-hmm.
is that I'm not talking to conditioning,
right.
you know, or the, you know, the ideas about, you know, the things that I mentioned that are not things that are about the. You know, I'm not talking about the benefits of exercise.
Right.
You know, for instance, mm-hmm. this person laying in bed. You know, it's the person laying in bed, just like, I don't care.
Right. Good, no exercise.
Yeah. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Right. I'm talking to this person who just wants to, you know, just have a life.
Uh-huh.
You know, just, uh-huh. you know, is I'm talking to the person who is being attacked by all these voices.
Uh-huh.
You know, and here and. Pretty much laying out everything that they're saying.
Uh-huh. What the voices are saying.
What the voices are saying.
Uh-huh.
You know, just this is what they're saying. They're saying that you don't feel like it. You're too tired.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be hard. You're weak.
Uh-huh.
You've got a long day ahead of you.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're just going to wear yourself out unnecessarily.
Uh-huh.
And here I am talking on the other side of the experience.
Uh-huh.
And saying, no, these are all lies.
Uh-huh. Saying, here's what's really true.
Yes. And you know how much I love you. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether you do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to help you no matter mm-hmm. what you need. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something about that has become much larger than the exercise that originally started
to be
the process around. You know, that was the content, so to speak.
Right.
And now it's like... how am I going to be kind with this person that I see there lying in bed there?
You
know, no one gets close enough. You know? I'll set it up ahead of time that these are the things that I'm going to do to take care of you in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we talk about it's not about the content, it's really the process, but it's so helpful to have a piece of content to work with.
Yeah.
And that's really what you're talking about, is that you've used the content of waking up early in the morning to exercise as a portal into learning more about the process of mentoring, of really assisting the part of you who, in this case, wants to get up and exercise, but that as you learn that skill, that's applicable everywhere in your life.
That is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's I think, the biggest thing that I've gotten out of it.
Yeah.
And there's something in what you were saying earlier that reminds me of something that Sherry had told me one time. It was something that I actually shared with her, which was that something about keeping my commitments,
mm-hmm.
and it was something about not keeping the smallest one, the most insignificant one, the one that is I feel is like so what,
mm-hmm.
you know, who cares? Is an invitation to conditioning,
mm-hmm.
to make it a habit that mm-hmm. I keep applying that kind of like this is. You know, so who cares all across the board?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so huge about, you know, just taking little steps is that little by little, every time, and it came up when you said, you know, who's in charge?
Yeah.
You know, that every time, you know, it talks me to something, or it's like I'm leaving the door open for it to walk through, and every time it becomes easier and easier for it to do it.
Yeah. What you practice is what you have. Mm-hmm. Am I practicing keeping commitments and being who I say I am? Mm-hmm. Or am I practicing, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Okay. And it's even not allowing conditioning to have access to us through the self-hate that can come out through that.
Okay.
You know, oh, where I am, allowing conditioning to walk on through.
Well, and that's a critical point, because so there's that, you know, what I practice, what I have these two choices, and then I don't keep a commitment.
Right.
The minute often that happens in unconsciousness, I mean, almost kind of has to happen in unconsciousness. If the minute I see that, I become conscious of it, I make the other choice, I'm still practicing keeping the commitment.
Right.
Do you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I indulge the self-hate, it's just trying to pull me into that conversation, because that's going to have me practice not keeping the commitment. But anytime I'm conscious and I actually can make a choice, and I make the commitment choice, then that's what I'm practicing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm strengthening.
Strengthening, reinforcing the groove, everything that we talk about. And it's so clear when a little thing just shifts, a small thing, like I normally head toward this to eat, and I know it's not healthy for me. And then I decide, okay, well, I'm not doing that just for right now. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe after this week or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just that it's like that we say, like, if there's a, you know, if your leg is sore in meditation, you know, to give it a few beats and then move it. Just to show the voice that you aren't going to just die.
Right, right. Prove that you're not going to faint on the spot.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, that's just all that's really helpful.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I would like to look a little bit more at the shift in recording and listening that's been happening. I have been using the recording more, and last conversation just brought this up, just begin a conversation with a mentor and a support for the changes. It sounds like I need to change, but, you know, for just support for support for this being to become more authentically
who she already is.
Who she already is.
Mm-hmm.
And
support for stripping the layers away.
Yeah, support, yeah. Just acknowledging. It's kind of like the mentor just acknowledges what she can already see.
Yeah, she sees the clear, nice, beautiful wood underneath.
Exactly.
And she's the beacon that reminds you it's under there. It really is, I swear.
Right, yeah. And in the words of the resistance class, she sees the jewel. And she's just there to hold that vision.
Yeah, and so that's critical, isn't it? Because I project that's what had you hesitating when you first started talking, because it's not now here's what you're going to become.
Right.
We're going to have you be this person who blah, 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 and really, you can do it. No, you can do
right.
it. It's more seeing through something that's already so. It's just that there's all this stuff that there's illusion on top of it, and she's assisting you to see through
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because when I said that, I saw it. Years of self-improvement progress, you know,
and it's an interesting fine line to walk, isn't it? Because then the other side of that is, well, that's okay, you know, there are all these layers, you know, that's fine,
right?
You know, and I mean, yes, we can offer unconditional love and acceptance for where we are right now,
right.
And, you know, back to the speaking of the person who wants to practice, the person who intuitively senses she wants to be that jewel all the time, that's what the mentor is assisting her to get to be, to
right.
see.
And I'm glad you said that. I think that really points to the critical distinction with the new practice of not going into you're okay, you know, no matter what.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I guess it's true, but, you know, I love her anyway, but, you know, to not just feed into that, that it's, that there is something, there is a bigger vision.
Yeah, if we go back to the exercise example of, you know, to say to the person who really, really does want to get up early in the morning and exercise, you know, it's okay, you don't have to exercise,
right.
You know, you're a good kid, I mean, you're... That's not really gonna, that's not inspiring. That's not what he actually wants.
Right.
To say to him, and this is some of what I heard Alex saying, look, I love you no matter what. You know, whether you get out of bed in the morning or you don't get out of bed in the morning, that's irrelevant to me.
Right.
Now, what is it that we really want to do?
Right.
You
know?
Right. Okay, I hear that you want to exercise. Well, let's look at that.
Yeah.
Let's look at how we're going to support you in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you're not always going to feel like it. This, you know, there's going to be this voice and that voice and this voice. But it's really, truly a support system instead of just a, yeah.
And that's how it is. The life coach you always wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And so, it, you know, it's just for a while, for quite a long while with recording, I picked up the recorder like I was calling a friend
mm-hmm.
on the phone,
mm-hmm.
but in a way that kind of reinforced And there was something that was really fun about that,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was fun for conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of like just reinforcing that whole
mm-hmm.
Conditioned
mm-hmm.
world. So I'll still feel that tug.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, I got to tell my friend about this. You know? And yet I'll start with the mentor
mm-hmm.
and go to the jewel. And you know what? What I've been noticing is that whole desire just evaporates
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
to go to that. Like, you won't believe what happened to me today.
Uh-huh. And would you be willing to say a little bit about, so when you say, you go to the mentor, you go to the jewel, how you do that, what that process looks like?
Well, a lot of emotion just comes up there. I just pick up the recording and I'll just say something endearing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, sweetie. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you picked up the recorder and that, mm-hmm. you want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can see, mm-hmm. I see your beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I see your strength.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to acknowledge
uh-huh.
all that she can really see.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm here for you, and let's look at what, you know, what it is that you need to have support right now to live in that place
yeah.
of who you authentically are.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. Mm-hmm. We're in this together. We're going to hold hands to the end. And, mm-hmm. you know, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
And after that, who cares? if I spilled the cat food 5 pounds on the ground and I had to, you know, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's a real invitation, isn't it, to offer the person who had whatever go on in her day to say, I mean, as you say that, where I go to is if there's an emotion or a support or whatever that she needs, that's what's going to come up.
Yeah.
Instead of the, you know, and I feel it, you know, self-hate and da-da-da, but what she really needs, that's an invitation for her to ask for what she really needs and get that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and a really safe atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just really, really a very loving and safe atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it does bring up an issue about all my previous recordings and what to do about that.
I figure they just get archived.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm coming up with a way to archive them. What do I call it? It's like the enlightened period and the
dark ages and
the thought of the new
millennium.
So anyway, it's pretty good.
Well, and even that's funny because it's, you know, it's all part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of it. It's all a place along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. And, you know, to just listen to those old recordings and to just, you know, to really have compassion. And, I mean, she was doing the best she could and she was picking up the recorder.
Exactly.
And it brought her to this place.
Exactly.
And it never, I don't think it could have, I mean, it, none of that was
a mistake. Yeah,
you know, it really brought her to a relationship with the white mentor that she didn't exist before that.
Yeah.
So, thank you for saying. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. true. There is a beauty in the whole process.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the day when these number of recordings equal or exceed the other.
Well, and no doubt you'll see the next thing.
And then
you'll
see the
next thing. And it'll expand.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It'll, so it's all interesting.
Penny. This conversation is making me look at something that's been helpful to me in a slightly different light. Mm-hmm. So I've been finding helpful lately just focusing on the next step. And because where you know, where my conditioning wants to go is several steps ahead.
Conditioning in your head.
What?
We're conditioning in your head versus my conditioning.
Conditioning in my head, yeah. You're conditioning, the conditioning.
The conditioning, right.
Goes is out to the end result or what should happen or the amount of time I have and what I have to get done and how utterly unhelpful all that is. And so the other day, I started in on a portion of my 300 per 1,000 task that is, from conditioning viewpoint, just amazingly tedious. Mm-hmm. And it's repetitive. Mm-hmm. And also takes a lot of focus. And what the other day, what I found was that I started talking my way through it. Mm-hmm. I just talked my way through every step. I instructed myself, now we do this, and then we do this, and then we turn it that way, and we do this, and then we do that. And first of all, it filled my head with something different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what I guess, what I hadn't seen it in terms of is it was really a form of mentoring. You know, it was it was being my coach as I went through that. And as long as I was just focused on that, every step was interesting.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that's very fun. That's another thing that we were looking at this weekend of if I'm present, then it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no desire, there's no conversation or desire to be somewhere else doing something else. So there can't even be an assessment of this is tedious.
Right.
It just is what I'm doing.
And the other thing that, in this particular instance, and I'm guessing in most of them, is that I really need to be that focused in order to be accurate. Because mm-hmm. it's a task that could be tedious, and also it's a task where any mistake could be pretty devastating. Mm-hmm. And so it was so helpful to get myself that focused that I didn't lose track of where I was. Uh-huh. So it was a way of calling upon a kind of mentor coach that I hadn't identified as that. Yeah. I just identified it as a really helpful way to go about the task.
Yeah, that's great. And so that actually saying out loud, kind of coaching yourself through the steps, is a way to take up all the space into the project instead of doing the whatever you're doing and then be able to have this conversation over here about
right,
which creates that split of you're not really there and there's dissatisfaction. I want to be here. I want to be doing something else.
Yeah, and the other thing I realized was it felt like I was doing it with a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt like a friend entered in to accompany me through it. And so it was... there was a sweetness to it, mm-hmm. you know, that I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah. Yeah. That so often, really, when people talk about being lonely, it's just, I'm not here with mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah.
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 I really had an opportunity this weekend to look at my relationship with Kathy. Mm-hmm. I let go of some things, or I actually didn't even have to let go of them, they just sort of disappeared from my life. So sort of the last little thing that conditioning is really holding on to is caffeine. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't take that away from me. That's the only thing I've got. you can't be that me. Yeah. You really can't. No, you know, and it's like, okay, all right, well,
let's look at this.
And what I've done, and I want to say it out loud, is I've given up Starbucks, which was like conditioning's lover. Yeah, there was a lot of planning about how we were going to get together and how it was, the whole thing. So I recently given that up, and then also during the day, you know, there would be these little messages coming through, well, even if we have to get up Starbucks, we could still have caffeine at home.
Right. Or Pete's.
So I was, you know, kind of still making sure. And what I saw this weekend was,
I would have a cup of tea in the morning, mm-hmm. and it never even occurred to me that I needed caffeine throughout the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. There was no, you know, where is it?
Right.
What do we, you know, right. we haven't had caffeine now, you know,
right.
we're at, when, you know, out in my normal, well, normal, abnormal, whatever.
usual.
It would always be kind of like figuring out when the next caffeine would be.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw in relaxation was it's a real way for conditioning to jack up the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm just kind of going along and just mm-hmm. having a good time and,
yep.
you know, there'll be this thing that you need caffeine.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll have caffeine and then I'll get this surge mm-hmm. of overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
And then what am I going to do with this?
Oh.
You know, where
yeah.
I can do something. Yeah. And it's like, I don't, and the belief was I needed it in order to have the energy I needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not true.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The more relaxed I am,
yeah.
the more true energy I have.
Yes.
So
yes.
it took away my true energy and yeah. replaced it with the false energy.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's just pernicious, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That, and you never get to see that, because mm-hmm. if that cycle is constantly going on, you never actually get to experience what energy you just do have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that the message is you. You need caffeine.
Yeah.
And that we're so trained to not look at it and say, really?
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
And I just love the way you're laying it out. Really, I mean, another phrase we've been using a lot this year is the spirit of inquiry.
Mm.
And so really, really looking at it, not just saying, okay, that's it, no more caffeine. You know, kind of a, we're not going to do that anymore. But instead, just really experimenting with it and
yeah.
playing with it and seeing what if this, what if that, what if this. Noticing this weekend that you had tea in the morning and then that was it. There wasn't a tracking of when is the next one going to come and that sort of thing.
Yeah. yeah. And part of it is you guys don't have Diet Coke here.
so, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, wow, you know, my afternoon Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I mean, I really didn't miss it.
Yeah. Boy, that's huge to see, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah.
it's been fun to have
yeah.
the energy available
mm-hmm.
without it being a jacked up,
mm-hmm.
overwhelmed energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as you really get present to that, it's back to what we've been talking about all morning, you really then are in a place to choose mm-hmm. what you want to do. You don't have to be in that relationship of, I have to have caffeine, or I shouldn't have caffeine.
Right.
But you really get to choose what you want
yeah.
from a conscious place.
Yeah, and it's actually like, well, what is my energy level?
Yeah.
Well, how would that serve me if
yeah.
I were to have caffeine?
Yeah.
Or what, you know,
yeah.
and to even have caffeine and just really
and just
pay
watch.
Attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. How, exactly. Really just, all right, I'm going to have this Diet Coke, and I'm just going to really, really watch at what the effect of that is. Does that really serve me? Is that really how I want to feel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
On Thursday night, the guide gave some guidance to someone that I... It must have rung some kind of bell with me,
mm-hmm.
but someone was talking about being in a place where conditioning was kind of at them and how they'd sort of done all the things that one might do, like move your body and
mm-hmm.
come back to the breath, and it was still
mm-hmm.
at them. And
mm-hmm.
and the guide, at least as I remember her saying it, she said, maybe it's time to just stop and,
mm-hmm.
Say what, and turn to it and say, okay,
mm-hmm.
give it to me.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Tell me all of it,
Yeah.
And I had a chance to practice that later that night when I was awake, and I hadn't been awake when I didn't want to be awake for a while, and
mm-hmm.
I was not wanting to be awake.
That was my first choice.
Yeah, that's right. And I was trying all of the things that usually
mm-hmm.
I try, and it was still right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, okay, what?
Mm.
Just
mm.
tell me. What? And this you know, spew of invective started out about, well, you're so ungrateful and you're such a fraud, and you know, and it just, and in 30 seconds I was sound asleep. and you know, and I just thought, you know, right, okay, fine. Is that the best you can come up with? I mean, it changed.
Is there more?
Yeah, there probably is, but I don't need to hear it because yeah. I've heard the essence of it in about your first, you know, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I've it's happened several times since in different situations, you know, where I could tell it was kind of wanting to wind up something, mm-hmm. and I just said, okay. Tell me all about it, and mm-hmm. it would start in, and I mean, it was amazingly how fast I lost interest in what I had to say.
So it sounds like from what you're describing, that at the beginning of this scenario, you're really, not meaning to, but you're really being in relationship with
yes,
it
right.
on some level. Like,
at some
go away.
A fairly subtle yeah. level. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's I don't want it, I don't like it, mm-hmm. but the level of what it's directing at me is kind of subtle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just one of those... Yeah, vague. I don't feel so good. Oh, maybe that's wrong. Maybe, but to turn and say, okay, well, really, what?
Yeah.
And to have it come up with the most it can come up with. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that's it.
Right.
That's all that's going on.
Yeah. And I would guess that in that, what's happening is that in that movement, you're disidentifying from it.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it's, you know, it's really true or me or I don't like it. Even I don't like it, I don't want it. That's some relationship with it.
Yeah.
But the, okay, turning to, you know, tell me what you got. That's a clear stepping away. That's not me.
Yeah.
What have you got?
Yeah.
And in that, you're free of it.
Yeah. And it really, it disidentifies and it really takes it out of the realm of just... subtle manipulation to this is my agenda.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay,
this is my agenda.
Conditions agenda. Yeah. Okay, this is what I'm trying to do to you.
Right.
And it's like, oh, right, I remember now. I know that's what you're trying to do.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, but it's, you know, counting on you not outing it in that direct way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's counting on just sort of an undercurrent of something wrong.
So you being in relationship with it and trying all these methods to get it to stop doing its thing is just fine with it.
Right. It
works
keeps
great.
Us in conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it keeps me running the show.
Yeah.
And I also would add an amen to the way of recording and listening where you just start in with the mentor. And I've been doing that lately. And I too used to kind of do a evening sort of, you know, this is what was... Here's my review of the day. Mm-hmm. But now I let the mentor do it.
Do the review of the day?
The review. And she says, I really appreciated when you... And that was a really great time when you did that. And did you notice that you really were, you know, how kind you were there and how you kept your commitment to that? And and it's much more pleasant.
Yeah. Bringing your attention to all the things that conditioning would want to slip under the rug that you're not present to, but really acknowledging the things in your day where you were the person that you want to be.
How often needs to bring it home? Get me to the question that, so after it starts talking, I'll ask it, do you have anything new to say?
That was big songs.
That's nice.
That's great.
But I really appreciate what Nikki just shared about having a mentor. Did a good day with you.
It's a good one to try. Yeah, I love that. You got anything new? Not really. Sure do.
I was watching a process yesterday around going to the gratitude project activity, and I was very interested in going to it because so much of me didn't want to go. And so there was so much resistance, which I was just like, oh, okay, well, there's the best reason to go, is someone really doesn't want me to show up. And throughout the project and listing everything that I was grateful for, there was just like the constant voice just criticizing me every step of the way, or it's not enough stuff, or or what I didn't put on the list because I was just like so grumpy about certain, like it was just nonstop. Mm-hmm. And then when it moved to the arts and crafts activity, there was even more like, what are you going to make? Like, come on now. Like, you didn't even put the right stuff on the list. So the board that I was going to make wasn't really going to be a good board because it wasn't going to be really what I should be grateful for, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of resistance. I remember going in and just like staring at all of the materials. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my list, which were, you know, objects and names of people. And there was this moment where I could feel how conditioning was really criticizing who and what was on my list. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I thought about, you know, what do these things represent for me? Mm-hmm. And I got just a black foam board and just started writing words. Oh. And so, like, the first thing I wrote down was sun. Mm-hmm. Why do I love the sun? Because it represents warmth. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I would write words, and then I was like doing one of those kind of crossword puzzle type things where I would connect the words into other words or letters into mm-hmm. words. And then I just was like, all of a sudden, someone showed up and just was so excited. She mm-hmm. was just like, awesome, and she got all the different crayons, and she was writing out words, and how can I do it? And it was just so nice. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the board when I went to bed last night, and I remember all of the resistance to even showing up and looking at that board, just the immediate joy mm-hmm. that I feel mm-hmm. now having that. And yeah. it was just, I just so appreciate, you know, being a part of this practice mm-hmm. and having gone through enough experiences and heard enough stories from others about yeah. when resistance shows up, that's probably the best clue that you're heading in the right direction.
Yep, yep. And there are really two things about that story that I think are so worth underlining. The patience in it, the trust, and the just letting life inform. So to not assume that because there's resistance, there's something going wrong, mm-hmm. or that I'm doing something wrong, or it shouldn't be this way, but this is just what there is, but just keep showing up. So you show up to the group at the time, you do the imagery about the, you make the list, you walk in the room, you look at the art supplies, and just with that patience, that willingness to just keep showing up, at some point, suddenly you're available to life, and the energy completely shifts. But if we have no agenda of when that happens, or how that happens, or then we can just be present to knowing, because it is our experience, sooner or later it will happen. Mm-hmm. You know, that if we're willing to keep showing up, and just letting life do what it does, it strips away everything else for us, and then we're just left with that, the joy, and wonder, and excitement, and all of that.
Yeah, and I've already figured out where I'm putting it on my wall. I was so excited. I was like, oh, I have a perfect place for this. And it's just such a wonderful moment to go, to know what conditioning was doing at the beginning and then what happened, like you said, by just showing up. Like, oh, I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, that is really fun. So it's a gratitude list for you, but it's also a reminder of that process, of what conditioning attempts to do and how you just stuck with it and went right through it. Yeah.
So I'm just kind of becoming aware of this process where, like, the first time I do something, mm-hmm. it's like I really have a much harder time ignoring the conditioning mm-hmm. than, this is my second time doing the retreat, mm-hmm. and it was different, but we had an art project last mm-hmm. time that was, I had a lot of pain and suffering around, mm-hmm. and so I just kind of was very kind with myself and gave myself permission to, in new ways, kind of, I think maybe recognizing the first time I try to fit into a structure, and like I like to do three or four types of something, and then maybe they all actually fit together, but and just really seeing in my life, I guess I'm thinking of my marriage where it's my first marriage and hopefully my only marriage. But I'm having suffering and I have this sense like if I remarried and then all this stuff came up again, it just wouldn't affect me as much because I wouldn't attribute it to the person. Uh-huh. I would attribute it to conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And
And let me see if I'm following. Because you would realize, oh my gosh, this is the exact same process, so this must not have to do with the content. Is that kind of what
Yeah. And like I'm seeing it in this volunteer position I have right now, like, oh wow, okay, that process is happening again.
Yeah.
And
and
so it gives me, it's like, oh, okay, let me experiment with some new ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, somehow, I don't know quite how to learn to be able to have that kindness, it's a kindness of flexibility the first time, you know, because...
Right. To have the flexibility and kindness that comes with maybe the second time around something, to bring that to the first.
Yeah. And it's often a different circumstance, like... but yeah, somehow, I mean, I think that's the value of doing something over time, is you start to see it, you know, again and again. But I think particularly when it's like one person in your life, and then you think, oh, well, if this person were just different, this stuff would work. Or why didn't, you know, choose, you know, why did I choose someone who does these things when I need this?
Well, and I'm curious if you can, whatever processes are happening in the marriage, if you can see those happening in other areas of your life.
Yeah. There's definitely, like...
Because that might be really, really helpful. To do a really nice, and I know you know the skill very well, a nice process map of what's going on in the relationship. And then just begin to be open to insights of how that's happening in all over the place. Because I'm with you. I just find it, I don't know if we're all this way. I mean, I think the whole sangha does this. But it's very reassuring to see how I do anything is how I do everything.
Yeah.
Because it actually provides us with a possibility, an opportunity that isn't there otherwise. Because if it isn't about what's going on for me, then I really do need to look at whether or not I chose the wrong person, or whether or not I went going to the right school, or whether or not I chose the right job, or where the city that I'm living in, and it all becomes terribly overwhelming and complicated, and I'm constantly in a decision process and all of that.
Yeah.
But to realize that anywhere I pick up and put this person in any job, in any relationship, in any whatever, she's going to do what she does. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
So maybe really helpful to really, really see that for yourself. I mean, I know you know it intellectually.
Yeah, but to be able to see it across context.
Yeah.
So that it's even, I don't have to do that context multiple times. I can just view it.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's what, I mean, I'm starting to see like, oh, okay, here's how conditioning overlays on this being. Like, okay, it's trying to impose the fear body now, right? I guess I call it the fear body. Is like trying, I feel like it's some little creature that's trying to like glom onto me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really have to do with me, even though it's something I've done for a long time.
Yeah. But that's true. It doesn't have anything to do with you, even though it feels so familiar.
Yeah.
And then we can't even get to a place of being grateful for the things that bring it all up, because if what we're doing in practice is we're seeing how we're caused to suffer, we're going to have to see through all of it sooner or later. So now's good. So wow, isn't that cool? I married someone who really pushes all those buttons.
I was hesitant because I know it's being recorded today, and I don't think he'll ever listen to it, but just to know that I love him.
Well, and here's the beautiful thing about Sangha. None of us has any confusion that he's a bad person.
Well, no, I think I had this fear. I don't know if other people have this, but like, well, there's a shame around having, just having a trouble with certain aspects of your life. But not necessarily wanting it recorded like forever, but I mean, I guess just kind of reassuring, like, okay, that just is human.
And how could you not have that? If how we do anything is how we do everything, how could that not be coming up in your marriage, in your work, in your, you know, if someone had children, if they, you know, wherever, it is going to. That's just how it works. It's going to show up everywhere. And And to be kept in a relationship of shame with it is just a perfect way for conditioning to have a lock on it. And to keep us back there believing it means something about me, there's something wrong, I'm not okay, and of course none of that is true. It's simply just the piece of karma that I work with. And the more we can see that, and the more we can just talk about it, as if it has nothing to do with me because it doesn't, the easier it's going to become for the being to just see through it, not believe it. That's our time. Thank you.